Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Monday morning. Well, sorry, bear with me one moment. We're just getting organized. Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name's Barbara P., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, July 15th, 7 a.m., and today we're Eastern Time. Today we're reading from the Big Book on page 32, the first paragraph. Though there is no way of proving it, and through just one paragraph and ending, here is one. Let's see. The reference numbers. And let me give you a couple of things, reference numbers, and then I'll tell you who is reading today. Reference numbers, our Sunday edition is 21,570, 21570. And then today we're going to have Karen W. reading the 12 steps. Rick J., if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to read the 12 traditions. Reader one, reading our text, is going to be Penny E., and so she'll be starting us off. Rick will be reading our closing. And then, let's see, we have our newcomer greeter is Karen W. She'll be following the first part of the meeting. And then our host for the second half will be Karen K. It's always a fun meeting. So let's see, always fifth tradition, no, sorry, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I'll now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thanks, Karen W. Appreciate you. And Rick J., would you mind reading our traditions?
Hey, this is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I am getting the 12 traditions.
Hopefully, thanks so much for stepping in, Rick. We appreciate you.
Okay, here we go. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Our group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for pinch hitting, Rick. Appreciate you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Everyone is welcome. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, please let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 32, first paragraph, starting with, though there is no way of proving it, and reading through one paragraph, which ends with, here is one. And Penny E. is going to get us started. So Penny, go for it. Kick us off.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. This is Penny E., recovered in South Jersey. Though there's no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. But the difficulty is that few alcoholics have enough desire to stop while there is yet time. We've heard of a few instances where people who showed definite signs of alcoholism were able to stop for a long period because of an overpowering desire to do so. Here's one. Well, where do I begin? That little paragraph has so much. It says we have no way of proving it, but we believe, early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. And I did that. I did that many, many times, you know. I went on a diet. My brother got married. I wanted to diet into a normal body size. I could stop. I could stop for a long period of time, which is very dangerous because that kind of proves to myself that I don't have this disease. We don't have the desire to stop while there is still time, and to me that means while we haven't experienced a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of side effects. You know, at that age, I was young, you know, I didn't have a whole lot except I wanted to be in a normal body size. As I grew older with the disease, I felt different from other people. My low self-esteem grew. My fear grew. My judgment of other people grew. It got bigger and uglier and uglier. The side effects, you know, we just have to really experience the pain and the side effects in order to be willing to do this. I had a sponsee one time who, she was new, and she wanted to lose weight for her wedding. And I didn't really know that, you know, but she did. She stopped eating. I don't know for how many months, 3-4 months, she stopped. She thought she was abstinent. She got into a normal body size. And then the danger that I can that she could do that, when she went on her honeymoon, she picked up. And she was off to the races. I don't even know if she's in the program now, you know. It's so dangerous when we think that we can hold our breath underwater. So I'm just grateful that I've had enough pain to surrender to this disease. And I love you all, and thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks, Penny E., for getting us started. We appreciate the great start. So I'll go ahead and take a list of names of people who'd like to share. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. Lots of people on the line. We want to hear from as many as we can. So with that, go ahead and give me your name, last initial, and I will take a list.
Charles H.
Lisa B.
Charles, gotcha. Lisa B.
Loretta H.
Loretta, gotcha.
Abby D.
Mm-hmm. Abby D. Oh, my God, you guys are forming a line. You're doing this so good. Oh, great. So I've got Charles, Lisa, Loretta, Abby D. All right, well, let's start there. So Charles, step right up. Got 3 minutes. And you are, you'll be followed by Lisa B.
Thank you very much, moderator, for your service. I ain't going to waste time saying my name again. You said it like 2 times already. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I used to play myself like, you know what? I got all this time in the world. All right, I hear somebody. Let me wait till they finish doing what they do. All right, so, yeah, I used to waste time talking about, you know, I'm middle-aged. I got all the time in the world. I'm not that old. I'm not that bad. All these excuses that we talked about in More About Alcoholism, I believe last week we talked about all the reasons, and we could add more reasons, right, or excuses. I think excuses are different than reasons. But I had all these excuses, and when I ran out of excuses, and took a look at myself like, wow, dog, this ain't working out. Let me stop talking so much. Let me stop acting like I know so much of this big book, because knowledge without application equals zero. Let me take the medicine and realize that I'm sick every single day, that I don't have a lot of time. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hearing people every day, 40, 30, 20, they dying. And they dying because of addiction. So I ain't got a lot of time to be playing games and kicking a can up the road and acting like I'm all that in a bag of chips. Oops, oh man, those are the things I used to engage in, right? But so I came up with a master plan. Shut up, Charles. Shut up, take instructions, and work these steps like my hair's on fire every single day. I don't want to be at work today. A lot of disasters going on, but recovery is like, all right, thank God for those disasters, because if it wasn't for those disasters, I wouldn't have a job. So I got a job to do today, and my main function is to recover every single day, because 12:01 or even before that, I turned into a pumpkin, and I got to find my diamond shoe. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Charles H., thanks so much, and I'm so sorry. That was me in the background. I hadn't muted yet. So, Lisa B., you are up next, and Loretta H., you'll be following. Lisa
Good
B.
morning. Yep, can you hear me? This is Lisa B.
I sure can.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. Lisa B., a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. This is a really amazing paragraph because it's talking about, you know, my willpower, doing this on my willpower, my overpowering desire. Well, eventually, you know, that changes it just changes. I don't know when that's going to change, but it definitely changed for me that no matter how much of a desire I had, I was not able to stay stopped. I could stop countless times, but staying stopped was the key. And it talks about the definite signs of alcoholism. And, you know, I learn in this book and through my own experience that, well, this book is about types of compulsive overeaters, types of alcoholics, and I need to see that I am of the type that this book was written for. And, you know, it's a hopeless type. It's a powerless type. And that the problem is in my mind. I have the allergy of the body. Yes, my food plan that's abstinent, you know, addresses that. But I have a greater problem, and it's my mind. My mind is going to keep taking me back to the behaviors and the food if I don't receive the treatment through the 12 steps, you know. So it's a spiritual awakening. It's a brain transplant, a personality transplant, a heart transplant. But I remember making the decision, I'm just going to stop eating sugar. You know, that will help me. And I felt relief that I made that decision, but I wasn't able to stay off of the sugar. I mean, I did for about a year right before I came to Vision, but it was through white knuckle. But guess what? I overate everything else, you know, and I think I was probably still getting, you know, the sugar in other forms. But I can't do this on my own. And when I had youth on my side, that was part of the thing, you know, I had youth and I was cocky and I thought I'll just find another food plan and I'll just power through this. A lot of my mental obsession was finding diets and compulsive exercise, but you know, it was the spring and summertime of my disease and it was fun. And there's a saying that says, if it's fun, you're not done. And then, you know, as I got into the fall and winter of my life and also in the disease, it started to turn on me and I started having horrible physical reactions and a breakdown in my body. Something happened and it was just the grace of God, like the light of God came in and enabled me to be willing to hear what you guys were saying to me. And I saw that I could live to be 100 years old and maybe even die of natural causes, but die an untreated compulsive overeater. I didn't want to die with that gift inside of me. I kept thinking, when it gets worse, I'll stop. But, you know, it stayed in this horrible place where I was still so high functioning, but miserable. And I think that's the disease, where I wasn't going to lose my job or my family. I was going to lose my mind. I had already lost my spirit. And that's the disease, right. You know, it's a slow process, but it's horrible. And I can't keep waiting for willingness. I had to just take the action, even when I don't feel like it, and stop waiting on my feelings. Like, it doesn't matter how I feel, right. You know. So with that, I pass.
Well, thanks so much, Lisa B. And Loretta H., you'll be up next. You're followed by Abby D. List of names. And if everyone can give us your state also, just let us know where you're from. Thanks.
Good morning, Lisa, and good morning all along with my precious God. You do save my life. Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. Somebody used to say the issues are in my tissues. I know I'm a real alcoholic, that I have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. I have never really had a real weight problem, but my mind is where the recovery has to be, and I have to know that I am a real alcoholic because real compulsive overeater, because that is what is in my tissues. And the other part of it is also in my tissues, which is the devastating part of it, because it'll bring me back down again. This is knowledge that I get to understand through working steps. And standing under God, He helps me do this. I was in program in 84, and I got sicker. I had the food plan down to the minute, down to the inch, down to the, you know, dotting every I and every T, and I got sicker and sicker because I did not have that. Obsession of mine was not relieved because I didn't have the spiritual experience or the essence of God in my life. And today, because of that, I can say I'm recovered one day at a time, never cured, because my disease does pop up, especially the other side of it, it comes there, especially when I'm sad or stressed, but I don't open that door. And that's because of working the steps. I am going through another step study with my group again, and I have to do a four step on a lot of things that are going on in my life right now because I am very sad, and I'm also angry, you know, hungry, angry, lonely, tired. And the only thing that's going to prevent me from, especially my anorexia, is to find out who God wants me to be. And that's, we have a fifth column, and that's where I need to go. I don't need to go to the refrigerator. I don't need to go to the restaurant. I don't need to go on vacation. I need to go work the steps. And it is about action. And again, surrender, because seriously understanding real recovery entails not debating every reason. I must stop being in the debating society, the control society, the willpower society. I'm a real compulsive overeater, and the only thing that's going to help me is the work, the actions, and then finding God when I find myself, as it says on 153. And with that, I pass. Loretta H., out.
Thanks, Loretta H. And Abby D., you are next, and then we'll be taking the list of names. If anybody's thinking about that, we are on page 32, first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it. Abby D., go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, and anorexic, and a restrictor in Michigan. Yeah, this paragraph, it's like, so I'm thinking back on when I could ever eat normally, and it's irrelevant because I didn't even have the desire to stop while there was still time. Like, I didn't become absolutely desperate until I face planted and the pain became so great that I was willing to do absolutely anything. And before that, it was like diet mentality. It was like I'm going on a cleanse, or I'm, you know, trying to eat healthier, going to the gym. Like, I'm just trying to, like, live a healthy lifestyle. Look at me. Like, this is, you know, it's like the light method. And then I realized that I was far too gone for any willpower, and that I was dying and desperate. And that's when I really, really knew that I had this and I needed help. And so, like, the fact that I don't know, it doesn't help me to, like, live in, oh, when could I have stopped, or when should I have stopped, or what if this. It's like I have this disease, and I'm willing to go to any length because of the pain that I've gone through. And I'm grateful for that pain because, you know, there's a lot of people that I come in contact with that are, like, just not at that desperation.
Good.
That level of desperation.
God bless you this morning.
Wow.
Yeah. It was kind of, you know, too much excitement in the country.
Sorry,
it was God. It was
sorry.
God.
Could somebody star one? Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Sorry about that, Abby. Go right ahead.
That's okay. You know, and just me having an overpowering desire to do so isn't enough. I need to take action. I need to have that overpowering desire matched with action every day. And I come into contact with a lot of people who don't have that level of desperation. And I wonder, like, why not? But, you know, everyone's on their own journey. And, like, I don't know why it was my time to feel the need where I needed to go to absolutely any length, but I'm grateful it came, and I remember it each day. because it catapults me to do what I do each day. So I hope everyone has a good day, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Abby D, and sorry about that interruption. So we'll go ahead and we'll take another list of names. Again, first paragraph on page 32, though there's no way of proving it. Who else would like to share?
Nicole. Kim A.
I heard Nicole, and who was that second person?
Kim A.
Okay, gotcha, Kim.
Ajua W.
Ajua, and did I hear, was it Karen? Okay.
Erin with an E.
Erin. Okay, got it. Erin, thanks.
Tony B.
Tony. Okay, so let me tell you who I've heard. Nicole, didn't catch your last initial. Kim A, Ajua, Erin K, Tony B. Did I miss anyone, or is there anyone else who wants to add their name? Okay, well, let's get off and running, and then we will have a little bit more time. Nicole, you are up, and you'll be followed by Kim A. And again, last initials, please, and where you're from so we can find you on the member list.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole J. in Virginia, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I was thinking as I was listening that I have family members who have done this, who could do this. They, you know, an uncle who... A friend got, a brother got lung cancer, and he just cold turkey went off a cigarette. Another uncle who just, my dad too, just stopped drinking because they saw something that scared them enough, and they just never picked it up again. My mom, she could just put down certain foods. And so I was thinking, okay, well, I should be able to do that too. And I've always been a compulsive overeater since I was very young. I've always been a compulsive overeater. And I've had these times where I think that I can just go off it. And the problem is sometimes I've been able to, you know, just, and then in those moments thinking, oh, finally, I found the thing. I'm better. I can do this. And what's been amazing is I've gotten older, and this disease is definitely progressive in me, definitely gotten worse over time. I just cannot. It's like what I used to be able to do, I just could not do. I couldn't replicate it even sometimes like a month later or the next year or whatever. And now I thank God that that's true. Because as it is, I did so much damage to my body with these crazy schemes, you know, these crazy exercise plans and the food and the restricting and then the overindulging and the cheat days and these sort of like, weird concoctions of things that you find all over the internet of ways that you can burn body fat. And in the back of my mind, you know, knowing like this won't work, but let me try it. You know, I was willing to try everything except the simple program that's laid out in the 12 steps. But I am thankful that those things finally stopped working. But man, oh man, it was a dumpster fire at the end of just like complete crash and burn. And for me, it's not crash and burn just with food and body weight and all that. It's my health. It's my relationships. It's my complete distance from God. It's only now, you know, after being abstinent for a year, can I look back and see like, wow, I was self-will run riot. I was just crazy and I didn't even know it. So I'm glad that these things stopped working for me. But the real thing is I'm glad that I found the power of God. And I don't have any confidence at all in myself that I can maintain any of it. I have no confidence because I know my past. Only thing I'm confident in is that this has worked for so many people and that I completely believe God can do this if he saw it. And I just do it a day at a time. And some days I'm like, wow, it worked again today. But I don't trust in myself at all, which is like a good thing, but it's also like sometimes scary. Anyway, I'm thankful so much for being on the line and for Vision showing me that a lasting recovery is really possible. Thanks for letting me share a pass.
Oh, thanks, Nicole J. from Virginia. Kim A., go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Kim A. from New York City. And this paragraph is launching us into the first story in this chapter that's illustrating what goes on in the mind of the alcoholic before they take that first drink. And that's really just showing us that if it's before we're taking that first bite, the problem isn't the first bite. The problem isn't the sugar in that first bite or the flour in that first bite or, you know, whatever it is that we feel the need to avoid. The problem is what's leading us to that first bite. And I didn't understand for a really long time. Like, I got the fact that I was powerless over food. I got the fact that, you know, once I took that first bite, I was basically screwed. But what I didn't see was that food was really my solution. So all those years that I was trying to follow a food plan, unsuccessfully, because I just, eventually my willpower would give out, because for me, a food plan, it was like a diet. Even if I'm praying and meditating, and even if I'm, you know, back then I was working like Kim's version of the steps. I didn't know what I was doing, but nothing helped because I wasn't following the directions in the big book. So if I'm putting down the food, if I'm using that willpower to not take that first bite, then I'm putting down the one thing that brings me comfort, right? And it's bringing me comfort from my thinking, because it's my attitudes and my perceptions that are really off most of the time, or that were off most of the time, and that was causing me to live in this resentment and self-pity and fear. And those things were the reason that I went to food, not sugar, not any particular ingredient, not any outside trigger. This isn't about outside triggers. This is about what's going on in my head. So, excuse me, if I don't have the food anymore to bring me ease and comfort, that stuff is going to build up and build up and build up. And eventually, I'm not going to be able to not manage the decision to take that first bite. So whether it's 25 years of willpower, like the man of 30, or, you know, 5 minutes of willpower, eventually I'm going to pick up that food if I'm not working the steps, because the steps are what teach me how to have a relationship with a higher power and how to turn these things over and have my higher power change my thinking. But this is only possible. Yes, of course, like it's important to have like a quote unquote good relationship with a higher power, but I only have access to that higher power by the actions and the steps, by clearing away all that crap that's like blocking me from my higher power. And if I'm not doing steps 4 and 5 the way they're laid out, then I'm not going to be able to, with the help of my sponsor, see the truth in my thinking. I think that was my time, so I'm going to leave it there. Thank you. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Great. Thanks, Kim A. from New York. Ajua, please share with us.
Hi, good morning, all. Thank you. I'm Ajua W. from Vermont, but I think I'm Massachusetts on the list. I am mostly just claiming my seat, and I have to say I'm so grateful for the shares today, because I've heard some things that I've really, really needed to hear, and last week as well. In particular, I love vision, and I sometimes get anxious because my experience of the food hasn't been necessarily as extreme as others. But then as soon as I say that, I know the lie in that as well, because I've been so very overweight as well as dangerously underweight. But just to, you know, get last week, people were talking about what it was like to be mostly in a normal body. And somebody else spoke about that today, which is not my story, but it helped me to claim my seat and to remind myself again, which I always need to do. Yes, 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 still yes. This is still me. Yes. The other thing I'm really appreciating is other people who identify in with the fact that they knew because of their thinking, not necessarily because of their eating, but because of their thinking. And so I'm just really grateful for the range of stories and experiences that we all have that remind us, even if we can stop in time. And that's the other thing I'll say. It's been really hard for me as I continue in my journey with program over years. I almost wish that I hadn't stopped in time. I almost wish that I hadn't stopped through diet and exercise, and that I had come to a physical breaking point and not just a spiritual, emotional one, which I definitely did. And so in some ways, I think for those who can stop in time, there's the challenge then of you never know exactly how bad it could have been, and that seed stays in your brain. So I'm just so grateful for hearing what I needed to hear and hearing people I can identify with so clearly. And in fact, people who were not as far gone as I was, because that reminds me, it helps me to find myself in the middle of my fellows. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Ajua W. in Vermont, possibly Massachusetts on our list. Erin K., come on up, and you'll be followed by Tony B., and then we will be taking another list of names. Actually, let me go ahead and just say where we're at. We're reading page 32, the first paragraph, though there is no way of proving it, in just that one paragraph. So, Erin, go right ahead.
Sorry, guys, froggy throat this morning. And good morning. This is Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. I love the phrase "life is lived forward and understood backward," because as I was reading this paragraph, I realized that something occurred to me recently about an experience that I've had with this contrast with food and alcohol. At some point, like this, the book talks about I crossed a line with food, and I think it happened a long, long time ago. I became someone who, like others have said, maybe could go on a diet. I could put certain foods down for a while, but I could not stay stopped without spiritual help. And eventually, I couldn't even stop without spiritual help. And that's what brought me into my first meeting. So I can't stop without spiritual help, and I can't stay stopped without a daily program of spiritual disciplines. And because what happens when I stop taking these actions is I start thinking. And, I've heard someone say this chapter should be called More About Relapse, because it's really about the patterns of thinking that take us back out, take us back to our drug of choice, which is food. And, I contrast my experience with food with my experience with alcohol. I have come from family of addicts and alcoholics. Both my parents are alcoholics. And when I first came to program, I did drink alcohol. I drank it moderately. Sometimes maybe I was that hard drinker, but I found that I couldn't stay abstinent in this program while still drinking alcohol. That was my personal experience. And so, OA gave me a strong reason to stop drinking. And you know what, guys? I don't actually know when my last drink of alcohol was. I don't know how long exactly I've been technically sober from alcohol, because I never think about alcohol. I can be around people drinking. I could be at a wedding, and it just doesn't call me, and it's not like the food. And I think this is how I know that I crossed a line with food somewhere. I became this distinct entity with respect to food. I don't know if, I don't think that had happened to me with alcohol. I'm sure it certainly could have. I'm not interested in testing that theory, by the way, but I don't know, this contrast between my experience with these two things, it just really hits it home, that I am this distinct entity that, without these daily disciplines, my thinking will take me right back to eating compulsively and to the misery that brings. And grateful I don't have to do that today. Thanks to you guys. Love you all. Have a good day. I will pass.
Thanks, Erin K. And Tony B., you are up from Scotland, and then we'll take another list of names.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. My name's Tony B, gratefully recovered in Scotland. And yes, though there's no way of proving it, we believe that early in our drinking careers, most of us could have stopped drinking. I don't think that's true of me. I think that I was a compulsive overeater from the get-go. I never ate normally. I think it had this effect on me physically, but it doesn't on others. And I certainly think that I have this I had this mental illness from a young age too. This overwhelming desire, I can relate to that. I wanted to stop. I wanted to look good. I got into healthful things, energy work, Tai Chi, meditation, yoga, and I really wanted to, you know, to look good. And it was pride for sure. I did a lot of exercise. I actually didn't stop binging. I just modified and starved and overexercised, but I still got my binges in. So I suppose that's not actually stopping. It's just modifying or changing my behaviors. Yeah, it's not enough for me to control my eating. I had to change. And I was always still nuts, whether dieting in a normal body size, underweight or overweight. I was still mad. And it was still all about me. You know, I was still selfish. And I wonder, you know, there's this example here that they're going to show. I wonder what he was like, you know. Was he really alcoholic? What was he like? What was he like during that dry period? That interests me. But no, it was still all about me. And it was, I want to be slim. I want to be able to have my cake and eat it too. And I'm making the decisions, you know, I'm going to try this. And my willpower was very strong and I did control and manage, but I was still mad. And I think they're saying here, you know, you may be able to stop on willpower, and here are some examples, and watch out for this, because really you'll just be a dry drunk and it will come in again. Yeah. It's an interesting paragraph. It's not one I sort of fully relate to. And I do wonder what this guy was like. I mean, it says, you know, he was successful in business. It sounds like he was fine. That's not my experience. But anyway, we're not quite on that story yet. And I'll leave it there. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Tony B. All righty. Who else would like to share on this paragraph? Page 32, first paragraph, though there's no way of proving it.
Maura H., New York, please.
Okay. Maura H.
Jackie from New Jersey.
Jackie Larissa from New Jersey. Was that Larissa?
Sarissa.
Sarissa. Gotcha. Larissa. And maybe one more. We might have time. Okay, well, let's go ahead, and then we'll see if somebody else wants to close us. Maura H., you're up, and you'll be followed by Jackie from New Jersey.
Good morning. This is Maura H. from New York, and I just want to start by apologizing to my Monday team and to the fellowship, because I overslept this morning and I had the responsibility of sharing the 12 traditions. And when I woke up at 7:05, I realized I had made a mistake and I started beating myself up over it. And I started feeling like all these thoughts about worried about what people are going to think, and they're going to think I'm a flake, and am I a flake, and how could I do this? And I just got really emotional, and this is part of my disease. And so I'm sharing, first of all, to make amends so I can let this go and acknowledge that I'm human and I'm sorry I did it. And I am so grateful, too, for Rick for stepping up. Thank you. And also just for the structure of the group, having a support that if somebody does let us down or whatever, or just show their humanness, it can still work out. But this all is entangled with, you know, why I need to stop overeating for today, because I can't live well unless I live in these steps. The desire to stop eating was there my entire life from the age of 12 when I started putting on weight. I wanted to be thin. I wanted to be normal. But the desire to stop was not enough to get me stopped. I had to have it in my soul where I knew that if I pick this up, I am going to never be able to put it back down, and I'm never going to be able to have a good life that I want. And when and it took many, many decades of me coming in and out of the program and wanting to be a normal person and not wanting to be a real compulsive overeater. And then I made the retreat in January in New York with the beautiful leader that we had. And it just, I don't know, the readiness was there and the willingness was there. The desire became deeper than it had ever been. And that was a gift. And now I pray for my oldest son, who also has this disease. You know, I got this disease from my father, who got it from his father. You know, the predisposition, the genetic predisposition was there, and then just learning the behaviors. So I'm unlearning, and the steps are showing me that although I'm a compulsive overeater, I am recovered for today, and I'm going to act like a recovered person, and I made my amends, and I feel so much better. So I will be there next Monday. I'm going to set my alarm. And I thank you for letting me speak and letting me do service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Maura H., and no problem. We appreciate the amends, though. But, nothing we haven't all done. So, Jackie from New Jersey, you are up, and you'll be followed by Sarissa.
Good morning, family. Jackie W. from New Jersey. Just claiming my seat. I don't know when I crossed that threshold, but it was long before I recognized it. And unfortunately, I was in a group that was very weight focused. It was a diet with support group, and I crossed additional thresholds even in the program, which is wild, but is definitely what happened. What it did is it just blocked me from a connection with God. That I described it to my sponsor when I was going through my steps, almost like someone had come in and dimmed the lights around me, and I didn't even realize what was happening. Like the lights kept going down and down and down until it was like practically dark, and I didn't even understand that that was happening. And as I started to recover, my eyes were open. So it's been so amazing to see how God, that's my higher power, works. So, for example, this morning I got up. I was on a tiny vacation, and I know I have a lot of work waiting for me, and I had intended on getting up super early and getting to work super, super early, and I must have just shut my clock off. And I had spoken with my husband about having coffee together because we hadn't connected over the last few days because I was away. And I was about to rush around and take my agenda and run around like a lunatic and get out the door. I wanted to leave by 5 a.m. to get to work by 6 a.m. and all this madness. And I was taking my time, my spiritual time and my meditation time, and I just felt a very strong sense of, like, order your steps. You don't need to rush around. The work will get done if you have to, you know, eat your lunch at your desk and take a minute there, but not take a lunch. You can get your work done. You can find other ways, but you don't need to sacrifice relationships. And that's what I did before. I sacrificed relationships for my agenda, for whatever Jackie wanted to do that day and felt like was important. It was all about me and my agenda. And today, I just connected with God and thought, well, that's not my agenda. I don't want to sit and chat for a half an hour, run around, take control, take life by the horns, and really that gets me nowhere. So I'm grateful I tuned in to God this morning and was able to stop myself because my agenda stinks. If my agenda worked, I would have been able to do everything on my own, and my agenda just repeatedly failed. And so I'm grateful to be tuned into a higher power, to be recovered, and to just be able to stop myself, tune in, and wait, and ask for help and guidance, and seek wisdom that's beyond my understanding. So I appreciate everybody. I hope you all have a beautiful, blessed day. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jackie W. from New Jersey. And Sarissa, you are up, and then we should have time perhaps for one more person. Sarissa.
Hi, this is Sarissa F. from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I, too, am like a couple of people that have shared this morning. I never had the ability to stop. I kind of wonder what that other side must be like. I remember when I was on a diet and dieting when I was 10 years old, when I was really only 5 pounds overweight, but already a compulsive overeater, and I maybe could last for a month. And anything I've tried since I was 18 certainly never lasted longer than 10, 12 days. And then inevitably, whatever I did lose prior to program, I would gain it back plus the bonus, you know, 10, 20, 30, whatever. And so I had become aware of that, and I had just given up on because I tried everything I knew to try. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, sometimes we act like it's part of our disease and we keep trying different things. But if you don't know there's an answer, why wouldn't you? And I grew up religious with a beautiful higher power, and praying didn't work for me either. Although I was praying to lose weight, I wasn't praying to get rid of the food because I didn't know how to do that. And so I kept trying things until I couldn't think of anything else to try. And I had just given up. I mean, I still sort of made stabs at trying to control my food because I didn't know what to do until I found out about program. And then I took another year or so to get myself to come because I had problems with groups. And then I was home. And I'd like to say, you know, I did come in and have a wonderful pink cloud abstinence. And then I had a back injury and then I had a huge relapse. But I stayed in program, which is probably the only thing that saved my life. And today, I am a grateful recovering compulsive overeater who has released 180 pounds. And I am in a wheelchair permanently. And I can say that I'm grateful for my life. And I never would have imagined any of that. So I'm glad to be here and keep coming back. Love you guys. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thanks so much, Sarissa from Oklahoma. And we do have time. Who else would somebody like to take our final share? Star one,
Mary,
unmute.
Mary, yep. A from Maine.
Okay, Mary, go for it. You've got it. Thanks.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. My name's Mary A. I'm from Portland, Maine, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater for today, and so grateful for our big book, for these instructions, and for all the shares that I've heard this morning. What a wonderful meeting this has been. It's funny, I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater until after I lost weight and tried to follow a food plan. So, and I don't hear my story often in the room, so maybe somebody else can relate to this. But I recovered from another form of this disease and then saw fellows who also had recovered from another form of this disease and who had lost a lot of weight. And I thought, well, I want to do what they're doing to lose weight. And so I joined a 12-step food-focused program, lost the weight, 100 pounds. Like, I was like, phew, great, that's done. It was only after that, when I tried to follow an abstinent food plan, that I became aware of just how crazy my thinking is. And we heard this earlier in the call, that it's not actually that first ingestion of an alcoholic substance. It's the thought that leads me to it that is the most fatal part of this disease for me. And that's what happened. And so I thought that I fit that description at the beginning of this paragraph, you know, even though we can't prove it, many of us could have stopped before it was too late. And that's what I thought of myself. Well, I don't have a problem. I can stop until I stopped. And then it's like the tiger was out of the cage. Like I felt like I was under attack by this disease and had such a hard time getting through the physical nature of this disease to get to the spiritual solution. And so I guess I just wanted to share that and profess that in case there are others who are on the call who have had a similar experience. Like, I had to really double down on my spiritual practices, especially my fourth and 10th and 11th steps, to be really honest with myself about where I was believing in false power, where I was believing in self-reliance as the solution, and that willingness to give that over to God and just surrender my will in my life. And once I did that and got all the alcoholic foods out of my body, you know, things have been much, much better since then. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much, Mary A., for taking us out. We appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who shared this morning. Such a rich meeting. Please join us for us. Oh, and if everybody could star one. Somebody is definitely unmuted. Someone's singing and it's lovely. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. Our share ID for today is 21,571. 21571. That's for today's 7 a.m. meeting. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Rick J. please read our closing? Starting with, our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then.
Okay, Rick J. again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Until then.